In today's Mishnah, we learn the third and fourth Mishnah from the second parak of Masechta Bechorot. And today's Mishnah is really a continuation of yesterday's Mishnah. And that is, the Mishnah begins, Kol shekadam hekdeshan mumam, or mum over lehekdeshan. So as opposed to yesterday's Mishnah, we looked at a case where the animal had a blemish prior to being set aside or consecrated for to be used either as a korban or for the temple treasury. And in those cases, we said that since it already had a blemish that invalidated it from being used as a korban, we said that it only had kedushat damim, meaning only its monetary value had kedusha. It didn't essentially have kedusha itself. In this Mishnah, we look at the other case. Either it was a perfectly good animal and someone dedicated to be used as a korban, or it had a temporary blemish that wouldn't have been validated to be used as a korban prior to being consecrated. So Mishnah says, "Ulachar mikan nolad mobum lahem mum kavua," and then only after it developed a blemish, "v'niftu," and then it was redeemed. So the question is, is this now considered like a normal animal? The Mishnah says no. Unlike yes in Mishnah, when only Akdusha Damim, it was just considered like pretty much like a normal animal. Now it's not. It's like a korban that has been redeemed. And therefore the Mishnah says, first point is, it's Peturim Mina Bechor. It's exempt from the law of Bechor, meaning if this animal then has a firstborn offspring, it wouldn't be treated as a Bechor. Why? Because we learned about this back in Masechta Chulin, that since the Torah says it's treated like tzvi or kael, since when it comes to a tzvi, well, a deer does not have the din of a bechor, so too a redeemed korban, since the Torah describes a redeemed korban like a tzvi, therefore it doesn't. It's also exempt from the law of bechor. Also, Mishnah says umin hamatanot. Similarly, since it's come from the world of kodshim, we learned about this back in Masechta Chulin, or the various gifts, the zrua l'chaim and keva that we learned about back then in the 10th parak, is also exempt from such an animal. Mishnah adds, "Ve'ein yotzim lechulin legezez ule'aved," that once this animal is redeemed, you cannot use it for work, and if it's a sheep, you cannot shear it. Why? Because if you remember, we said since the Torah says v'tizbach achalta basar, that all you can do is shecht it and eat its meat. It implies you can't do anything else with such an animal. Mishnah then continues, "Vladan v'chelban asur lachar pidyonam." Similarly, one is not allowed to derive benefit from the milk or its offspring after it's been redeemed. And that was because the Torah says, "Va'achalta basar," that he only meant to eat, consume of its meat, and its meat only. And the Mishnah adds, "Va'shochatan b'chutz," if someone slaughters this animal prior, I mean this animal, the consecrated korban, prior to being redeemed, then one would have violated the prohibition of offering a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, and there will be chayev karet. If you remember, we explained back in Chulin that this is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, such that the mum, the blemish that it developed, was only a minor issue with the eye. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, if such animal was offered was slaughtered and placed in the Mizbeach, it wouldn't be taken down again. Consequently, since this animal is fit to, if you like, stay on the Mizbeach if it was placed there, therefore one would be chayev karet for offering such an animal, despite the fact it had this minor blemish outside the Beit HaMikdash. However, the halach is not like this. So, Rabbi Akiva explains it, not Rabbi Akiva, and if someone saw this animal outside the Beit HaMikdash, it would be patur. Let's continue. Vosim tmura, meaning prior to be redeemed, if someone says, I'd like this animal to be used in exchange for that animal, this animal that had that blemish, then we'd say that no, it wouldn't work. The blemished animal would still retain kedusha, and the other animal would be defined as a tmura. In other words, it also have sanctity and have to be offered as a korban. Vimetu, meaning prior to the redemption, if this animal then died, then we say yikaveru. It has to be buried. It cannot be fed to dogs. Why? Because, as I explained before, a korban is not redeemed to simply for the purpose of feeding it to dogs. That's not how we treat a korban that became pasul. And in this situation, once it died, that's pretty much the only use you can have for this animal. You can no longer eat it because it wouldn't be kosher. Let's now learn Mishnah Dalad. Hamakabel tzon barzel min hanochri. Now, the term tzon barzel is actually a financial term. We've learned about it back in Seder Nashim. Tzon Barzel, literally iron flock, means that he has a business arrangement where he took some flock or animals from a nochri, from a non-Jew, but the financial value of those animals was established from the outset. And when the time expires of this business arrangement, he has to return that exact value. That's why it's almost like this sheep, their value is like iron, it's locked in concrete, and that's what he has to return. So therefore, Mishnah says, Vladan Pturim, meaning any offspring is exempt from Bechor. Now why is that? So this Jew's been taking care of these animals, he's raising them, and certain offspring have been born, and the firstborn animals he doesn't have to treat as Bechor. And that is because within this arrangement, if this Jew cannot pay back the principal value from the flock themselves, from the animals he took himself, say, let's say the value depreciated, then the Nochri has a right to collect his funds from this offspring. Consequently, since the Nochri has a hand or has a share in the offspring or rights to the offspring, it's as if he has a business partnership even within the offspring. And like we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, that would exempt them from the din of Bechor. However, the second generation after that, one would be Chayev. But Bechor, because the second generation animals have no connection to this financial arrangement, the Goy has no right to collect his funds from those animals. However, amid Vladot Tachat Imotehem, if however, after the first generation was born, the Israel approached the Nochri and said, you can collect funds from this offspring, then, well, since he didn't have to say that from the outset, that would now include, if you like, he has a right to the second generation as well. So therefore, this Vlade Vladot, the grandchildren, so the second generation, would also be Ptorim. However, Lev Vlade Vladot, if you go down a generation further, would be Chayvim. However, Rabbi Shimon Begoni says, no, forget all that. So I feel the Ad Asar Rod, it doesn't matter how many generations are born within this business arrangement, they'll all be Ptorim, they'll all be exempt. Why Shachru Atam LaNochri? Because the Nochri has a right to collect his funds due to him from any of these animals who were born as part of this business arrangement. So therefore, since he has a right to collect his money from any of those, within any generation, he has a share in them, and as we explained, once he has a share, Enochi has a share in them, in these animals, they're exempt from Bechor. Those are Mishnah today.